on.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Fuck it. All right. Do it. We're Woo! Only talking about ceiling fans.
Woo!
Woo! Ceiling fans.
Hey, you got a fan you want to talk about? So, it's my turn, right?
It is your turn this time.
Hello, and welcome to the Soft Shoulder Podcast.
What's up, soft soldiers?
Don't.
I came up with that yesterday in the car and called Stacy on the telephone, like 1996.
Yeah, like called me, like was like no warning, just like I might have been doing something else. I might have been doing open heart surgery and you had to call me. So I had to drop what I was doing because I was like, oh no, is there an emergency? So that you could tell me that.
Soft soldiers. Yesterday, somebody told me that they sent somebody a text, like they sent like a 17-year-old a text, like it was somebody they were looking to hire or something.
Okay.
And the person's like, oh, sorry, I didn't get back to you. I thought it was like my phone plan, because who texts anymore?
What?
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, it's all DMs now, apparently.
Oh my God, I hate that.
Yeah, bad.
DMs through what? Through multiple apps?
I don't know, whatever. I think it's Instagram for the most part. I'm probably wrong.
Oh God.
Yeah. Okay. That happened to me recently, too. I called somebody, and they're like, what? And I'm like, what? It's a fucking phone call.
Calling makes sense. Because a lot of people have that. They're like, why didn't you just text? Like, a phone call is, like, emergency. Text is like, you can get back to me, like, soonish. And an email is like, I'm going to take my damn time.
I'm not going to text soft soldiers. That's like texting somebody a happy birthday, in my opinion.
All right.
Which is not, in my opinion, not cool.
Oh, you heard it here.
Yeah. Phone call.
All right. Anyways, I have a band to tell you about today.
I guess.
A band, in air quotes.
Okay.
This band is both a band and a delicious salad. Ambrosia.
Stacy literally put her hands underneath her chin like a cherub when she said Ambrosia.
So Ambrosia has like they only have 5 albums. To be honest, there's like not a lot of dirt on Ambrosia that I could necessarily find, so we may end up in a few tangents here.
That doesn't sound like us though.
But also I might have to really be, you know, I might have to pad Ambrosia a bit.
Also just want to say as a thing, it's hot as hell in my apartment right now, so we left the window open, so if you hear like traffic sounds or whatever, fuck it, there's traffic sounds in the background.
Also, I might have to sneeze because I have seasonal allergies.
Cool.
All right, Ambrosia. You know Ambrosia?
No, honestly, okay. Like a bit. I've been listening to them the last couple of days, but even after listening for a while, I feel like I don't know them at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably pretty accurate. They don't really seem to have... I mean, like there's some good songs, but there's a lot of experimenting.
Definitely. I noticed that right off the bat. It was like, even just like, because I kind of like cruised through their albums a little bit, just being mm-hmm. Picking out like song names. And I was like, this is wild. What's even going on? I think it was like their second album just starts out with a song called And Ellipses.
Oh.
And it's like 46 seconds long of just like, okay, I see where this is going.
Yeah, they're like, you know, they do have quite a history of being super into Prague, and so
that's what it seems like.
Yeah. Which I before researching them, I had no idea that there was that sort of like proggy side of Ambrosia, but. We're going to get into some proggy Ambrosia.
Okay. It seems like we're dipping into Prague more than we thought we would when we started.
It makes
this.
Sense, though, honestly, because it's like, you know, it's like a shade of rock that's like, it's like if you're looking at a scale of like hardest to softest rock, somewhere in the middle is Prague, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's like... It's like Smooth's nerdy cousin.
Yeah. It's like, it's the gateway into like adult contempo.
That's a perfect way to do it. So like, does it go like some band's trajectories? It's like, as far as I can tell what we're doing, it goes from like kind of soul R&B sound
uh-huh.
to possibly prog
uh-huh.
to pop.
Yeah, maybe.
Then either to shitty dad blues.
Yeah.
Or adult contempo.
Yeah.
Or both. Shitty adult. Yeah, exactly. Or both on one album, which is what everybody wants.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. So ambrosia. I'm not talking about the salad today. I'm not going to give you my best ambrosia salad recipe.
I legitimately don't know what an ambrosia salad
is. You don't know what it is?
So I think, honestly, this could be a segment of Recipes with Stacey.
And you'll play music that's like...
Of course I will. Yeah, I'll make a theme song.
Recipes with Stacey. Recipes with Stacey. Recipes with Stacey.
I don't know an ambrosia salad recipe off the top of my head, but I do know it does have marshmallows in it.
Okay.
It does have Jell-O in it.
Okay.
It does have sliced canned mandarin oranges in it.
Okay.
And it probably has something else gross in it, like a dollop of mayo or something like that.
So your official recipe is marshmallows, mandarin oranges, canned mandarin oranges.
Yeah, canned.
Mayo and
Jell-O.
Okay, yeah. I will make it soon.
Don't, I won't eat it. There's nothing in that I can actually eat.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're all, yeah, never mind. I'll eat it in front of you while we talk about whatever next band we talk about.
Great, a big old bowl of upchuck.
Big old bowl of ambrosia. Oh, the mayo. Okay, anyways, band.
It may or may not have mayo in it. I don't know if I made that up or not. But it seems, you know, it seems like it would. Anyways, the band Ambrosia was formed in 1970 in LA. So they were first formulated as a quartet with David Pack on guitar and vocals, Joe Piorta on bass and vocals, Christopher North on keyboard, and Burley Drummond on drums.
Yeah.
If your name is Burley Drummond, like, do you think you have any other options, like, but to be a drummer or like a Hell's Angel?
Yeah, or running a hardware store.
Yeah.
Or being the, no, sorry, you're the guy that goes and gets the wood.
Yeah.
Like when you drive up and they're like, Burley, go get it.
Yeah, he's like, well, we don't have any of that today, but I'll send old Burley out to get some. Hey, Burley!
He's like, and you get back there and Burley's like super quiet, except he's got like 5 jokes about spruce.
Yeah, Burley loves spruce.
Yeah.
So Ambrosia was originally named Ambergris Mite. Ambergris Mite.
Is that one word?
Ambergris Mite.
Ambergris Mite.
Ambergris Mite.
Okay, like one word?
2 words. Ambergris.
Okay.
Mite.
I hate it.
I know, it's gross, right?
Horrible.
They were like, this is awesome. This is the number one sign that we're dealing with a prog rock band here, right?
Where that's true.
I don't know, what are 2 weird words we can smash together? But then they found, oddly enough, that there was a band already called Ambergris.
What? What's Ambergris? Did you look it up?
Sure did.
Nice. Okay, hold on. I want to guess. A gem of some sort.
No.
A powder of some sort.
No.
A spice.
No.
A 30s movie star?
No. I feel like you were actually kind of more in the wheelhouse with, like, the first few guesses.
A gas.
No.
A liquid.
No.
I don't know.
You're never going to guess it.
Okay. What do we got?
So, ambergris is a solid, waxy, flammable substance produced in the digestive system of sperm whales.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
It is. And it's, was used as a fixative in the perfume industry, so like,
okay,
I guess they like dry it out or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? But what? Why? Why are you naming your band after that?
That's I really don't know.
That's strange. It's like naming your band like digestive enzymes or something. I don't know. Like
I'd prefer digestive enzymes over, I mean, ambergris might.
Digestive enzymes would be a good punk band name.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, fair.
But yeah, and then as I spent a little bit of time on the ambergris Wikipedia page, then I just sat down and I was like, oh yeah, remember Matthew Barney's drawing Restraint 9? And I just, you know, thought about that for a while.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Matthew Barney's like a, I don't know, I guess like a weirdo artist. He was married to Bjork for a while.
Okay.
And he did these like series of video performance, I don't know, like weird things. They're like, he made some features. So this feature had, like, all the music was done by Bjork, and he and Bjork starred in it.
Okay.
And it was on a Japanese whaling ship, and they were making, like, a huge petroleum sculpture on the whaling ship.
Okay.
And it's just, like, really slow and atmospheric with, like, weird Bjork music and, like, weird body horror stuff.
Okay.
It's a fun time.
Yeah, sounds awesome. Sounds... okay.
It has nothing to do with ambrosia.
Perfect. But a tiny bit to do with ambergris?
Yes.
Okay.
Just because it's, like, whale related.
For sure, for sure. What's that, like, really expensive thing that it's a certain type of whale throws up? Do you know it?
No.
No, neither do I. I'll put it in. There is something. It's like some dude found, like, a chunk of it that was, like... I don't know, like 25 pounds or something. And it was like worth like millions of dollars.
Huh. Whale hork.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And I'll add it in.
All right.
Yeah.
This might also just become a whale enthusiast podcast.
Whale, whale, whale.
So don't ask me how I already knew what ambergris was. I have no idea, but I am on CNN World, and there is a article called Whale Vomit Could Fetch $70,000. It says, if you happen to come across a smelly rock while taking a long walk on the beach, it could be your lucky day. A couple in the UK stumbled across a large rock that many are calling whale vomit. The rock could be ambergris, which is a rare substance used to make perfumes last longer on the skin. Gary and Angela Williams followed a pungent smell while walking on a Middleton Sands beach near Morecambe Bay that led them to what they believed to be a large lump of ambergris. Ambergris feels a little waxy and the smell is very complex, a mixture of dung and the ocean, and old wood and tobacco and moist earth and ozone, Kemp said. The substance is often called floating gold and is produced only by a tiny percentage of sperm whales. It can float in the ocean for decades until it eventually washes up on shore, where people like the Williamses found it. Anyways, somehow I already knew this. Weird.
No, I can't do that. So they were like, oh, bummer, ambergris is already taken. I guess we'll go with ambrosia, because they were like, well, we really need to stick with that AMB sound.
But ambrosia is an actual pretty decent name.
I know, it's like not bad, because you're like, all right, like fruit of the gods kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Ambergris.
I want to know what the mite was part. Is it like mite, M-I-G-H-T? Or...
Yes. Yeah.
Weird.
Like, I feel like it's like, it almost... reminds me too of like another band which I've mentioned quite a bit on this podcast.
Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
No.
Okay.
Uriah Heep.
Okay, fair.
You know, it's got the same kind of like, I don't know, like rhythm as Uriah Heep.
I suppose.
You know? Okay. Ambergris mite, Uriah Heep.
Fair.
Same.
I'm still picturing in my head mite like question mark. Like I might do that.
That's because I was saying it with a question mark.
Yes. Okay.
Because I was like, ambergris might?
We are 12 minutes in and all we know is the members of the band.
Guys, it doesn't matter if you learn anything.
Yeah, nothing matters. It's 2021. Nothing matters.
All right. So these four turkeys were inspired by prog rock, as we've already discussed, and they were also super into CSNY.
Fair. Yeah.
I mean, who wasn't, I guess?
It's true.
In the 70s.
Almost cut my hair. It happened just the other day.
They were introduced to Zubin Mehta, who was the conductor of the Los Angeles Philharmonic at the time. And he later featured Ambrosia in something called the All American Dream Concert.
Like American Dream?
Like do, do, do.
Going through your garbage like a pack of hounds.
Do, 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 do. I hope it was just every band doing a cover of that song.
I hope too, man.
Domaticals.
That song sucks.
But like sucks. Like I like that song in the way that I like Cadbury Cream Eggs. You know?
No,
Cadbury Cream Eggs are like gross and that's why I like them. That song is like awful and that's why I like it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. What are those things that come in a yellow box and they're
Peep.
Cherry. cherry filled.
Oh yeah,
cherry
they have
blossom.
Like, oh, I love those because they're also gross. They just have like goo inside them.
Yeah, but like peanuts on the outside too for some reason. Yeah, you're like, chocolate shell with peanuts and goo.
And the viscosity of the goo is all wrong, you know? It's
yep.
Like a little bit like Hork or something.
Do you think maybe we can get sponsored by Cherry Blossoms?
I hope so.
We'll just show them that like the last minute. Like, give us a box.
And we'll eat them on mic, and it'll just be like a really weird experience.
It sound like sound like a dog eating a bowl of Jello.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay.
Okay. American Dream. So Ambrosia released their first album, titled Ambrosia,
perfect,
in February 1975. Honestly, there's like not a lot of information about them, or at least I didn't dig enough to find information about them, so you know, I'm just gonna tell you what I found. They had the singles on that album Holding On to Yesterday and Nice Very Nice.
That song's a jam.
You like that song?
Yeah, man, that song's great.
Hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So do you know where the lyrics come from?
No.
Really?
I no.
Okay, so it's the lyrics are a poem that is in Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So that whole thing is just, they're like, yeah, Kurt Vonnegut. Love it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
So. Yeah. I'm like, I don't have anything else to say about Kurt Vonnegut, to be honest.
Fair.
That album was Grammy nominated for Best Engineered Recording.
Ooh,
and what? It was engineered by Alan Parsons.
Whoa! Looking at you,
oh, I can read your mind.
I tried to do that song for a bumper intro into the Soft Focus, and I cannot sing that.
Oh, I'll do it.
Deal.
That's done. My range.
I'm like, I was trying to do it, and my range is more like, I am the eye in the sky, and it just didn't sound right.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, I was trying to be like I am the eye in the sky, yeah. And it just sounded creepy like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you can't. That's why that song is sung in that register, because it's much more disconcerting to sing it in this like lower.
For sure.
You know, because you're just sort of like. What are you saying to me, sir?
Yeah, it doesn't work in my higher, like, I don't even know, not falsetto.
Yeah.
Soprano-y voice, I guess. I wouldn't say soprano. What am I?
You're a tenor, probably.
There we go.
Yes.
Okay.
I am a soprano.
Yes?
Yes, I was.
Okay, fair. I don't know.
I probably don't have that range anymore. So Alan Parsons engineered that album, and then he produced their second album. And he like co-wrote a few songs, I think, on their first or second album.
Sweet.
And all four members of Ambrosia played on the first Alan Parsons Project album, which is called Tales of Mystery and Imagination.
That sounds about right for an Alan Parsons Project
mm-hmm.
record.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, like, what can sound like it's created by a secret society?
Yeah, or is the cover of an old, like, pulp novel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either one.
We should do an Alan Parsons Project episode.
Yeah, I'm 100% in.
Yeah.
Let's do it after these next two.
Ooh.
And then what I was thinking, and we can cut this out if you want, or just leave it in,
ooh,
is that we should end our first season with a four-part Fleetwood Mac-a-thon.
Whoa, Mac-a-tack!
Yeah, Mac-a-tack, which I think would be fun, because like we'd have to get into, you know, the different versions of Fleetwood Mac. We'd have to get into like Buckingham and Nicks, uh-huh, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think there's enough there to do a good four-part.
I want to make a game for you where you have to guess whether or not Stevie Nicks did a duet with this person, and then I give you an artist, and you have to guess.
Let's do it right now.
Well, I have to do research.
Okay.
We have to save it for a Mac attack.
Deal.
God, we're talking about Ambrosia right now, Dad. September 1976, their second album, Somewhere I've Never Traveled, which had the titular song, Somewhere I've Never Traveled.
Also
and,
a jam.
Yeah, that's a good one. And Can't Let a Woman.
I can't let a woman like you.
which
I didn't like it just because of the name. Can't let a woman. Not for me.
No. We don't talk like that.
No, thank you.
And those were the singles, and they both became FM favorites, which is like right in that like time where FM radio was like the weird stuff. You know, the kind of like more experimental stuff. Yep. So like Ambrosia's being like a little bit more proggy, but also like a little bit soft rock. I think FM was probably like their wheelhouse.
This is like late 70s, like 79?
76.
76, okay. Yeah.
And then that record, I really want to see this. The record sleeve folded into a large pyramid.
What?
Into it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss stuff like that so much.
I know.
It's like the only band doing that now is like the Flaming Lips. They do a bunch of wild shit.
That's true.
For their
yeah.
releases. What's his nuts there? Oh my god.
Flaming Lips guy?
No, Nashville Pete there with his hat. And he sing, kind of sings like this.
Nashville Pete?
Jack White.
Everyone, please start calling him Nashville Pete.
But he does a bunch of wild releases and shit.
Oh,
like
yeah. Because he's just, he's become a. An old man in his later years.
I guess to describe him as the creepy Willy Wonka of the record industry.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the creepy Willie Nelson, and I would also agree with that.
Have you ever seen that? I think it's a meme on the internet, and it's a picture of Jack White, and it just says, Jack White looks like Michael Cera dressed up as Johnny Depp for Halloween.
Oh my god, he does.
It's well worth it to look that up. All right, Ambrosia.
Okay, so Somewhere I've Never Traveled received a Grammy nomination and set the stage for the band signing to Warner Brothers Records. Who cares? This is the one that is really weird. This is the only weird dirt that I found on them. So they recorded a version of Magical Mystery Tour in 1976.
The song or the whole album?
The song.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not very good. It was for this documentary called All This and World War II.
Okay.
Which you've probably never heard of because
obviously not.
It's like kind of banned, I guess. Like
what? Why?
From what I understand that it is it's just footage from World War II.
Okay.
Just cut together and just like Beatles covers played over it.
Why?
I'm not sure. And so I guess there's a lot of like really dark footage in there, obviously.
Huh.
And fair enough, people were like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, who directed it?
It's a woman. I think I still have the page up here. Oh, yeah. It's directed by Susan Winslow.
Do you know anything else she's done?
There isn't even actually a page for her, so it might have actually destroyed her career, to
Weird.
Be honest.
Huh.
And it's like a lot of it was from Nazi Germany army newsreels.
This sounds awful.
And like propaganda films and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, why? Again, I'm like, why did you make this?
Yeah, not a clue.
I'm confused. And like, why does it just have Beatles songs as the soundtrack?
I have no idea. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to get into the mind of like the best thing I can come up with is it sounds like some like early art school stuff, like maybe like just being like, oh, the beauty of the Beatles and the horror of war, like I really don't
but
know.
It was like it had like a theatrical release, like,
oh
so.
Shit, okay,
yeah. I don't know if anyone knows anything about this weird film that you can't watch, which is probably for the best.
Pat yourself on the back. Yeah. We don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. So yeah, they did that song, and they still play it live. Like it became like a staple of their live shows, which is also kind of weird. But whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, that's a fun song to play.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So in August 1978, then they released Life Beyond LA, the album.
Yep.
Which was more of a... It got into a little bit more of like jazz, I guess, at moments, or R&B, but it does, like, the album does kind of go all over the place. There's some like smoother stuff. There's like some more proggy stuff. Like, it really opens up with like a hugely proggy kind of song.
Okay.
Which is the titular song.
Which is also jam.
Love it.
Yeah. Great song.
I like this album. I think it's actually a really nice album.
Yeah. So far when I listened to it, I think it was yesterday, and I also really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this caused like Christopher North to leave the band. He wasn't really happy with the way that it sounded, and like he felt it was a departure from the first two albums.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So then in 1978 they had their first gold single with How Much I Feel. That's how much I feel.
Don't know it that well. Not gonna lie.
So, yeah.
Yeah, gold, that happened.
Fine.
Cool.
Good,
solid
whatever.
Gold hit.
Then, speaking of Return of the Mac, they also toured with Fleetwood Mac. They toured with Heart. Oh, shit, I'm wearing a Heart t-shirt.
Oh, fuck. Woo! What's it say? Heart Rocks, Mile High Stadium, Denver, Colorado, June 16th, 79.
Yeah.
Nice.
I stole this shirt, or Crawdaddy gave me this shirt.
Crawdaddy, sweet.
I'm wearing a shirt that has a winged goat.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's boobs and a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, what's his name?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Done.
You can't see it anyways. yeah, Fleetwood Mac, Heart, and the Doobie Brothers.
Damn.
Yeah, so they were in with those dudes. And they added some more people. They added a second keyboardist, David C. Lewis, to, you know, keep up with all those crazy prog keyboards.
Fair.
And an additional singer, Royce Jones.
Royce Jones. That's a good name.
Royce is a good name.
Royce is a good name. What was that other guy's name? Wiggy?
Burley.
Burley. That's it.
Spelled B-U-R-L-E-I-G-H.
Oh, snap. Okay.
Burley.
Like a Scottish Burley.
Yeah.
Burley.
Burley.
Okay.
Sorry, we just keep making fun of you, Ambrosia. Skinner loves Ambrosia.
Oh, I can only assume she does. I put it on, and when I put it on the record, I was like, this is Skinner music.
I know. It does make sense because you got a little bit of soft. You got the soft sprinkled in there, but it's mostly prog. So I'm like, oh, the Skinner loves this.
Yeah, for sure. I think we should each make a playlist.
Of what we think Skinner loves?
No. I think that like Skinner should make a playlist, you make a playlist, and I'll make a playlist.
Oh, just like a Dealer's Choice playlist?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to put so many Robert Wyatt songs on it.
Of only 10 songs?
Yes.
8 are Robert Wyatt.
Yes.
Nice. Mine will
every other song is a Robert Wyatt song.
Mine's just going to be Tiptoe Through the Tulips 10 times.
Great. I'll never listen to it.
Perfect.
Oh, you want to have a torture music contest. Like, I will win. I will win. I'll make you listen to Shuby Taylor.
I will put... Oh, my God. I'll just put on my own music. I'll just write my own shit and be like, check this out, Stacey.
All right, fine. Okay. 1980. We're in the 80s now. This is how fast we're going.
Yes, yes. Cocaine, excess, money. Make money. Do cocaine.
So they released 180, which produced two of the year's biggest hits, which was Biggest Part of Me.
Yep.
And You're the Only Woman, You and I. I don't know.
Yeah, I listened to that song and I don't even recognize it.
I wanted to like it, but I didn't.
Yeah, same. Biggest Part of Me is great.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like real good.
That's a jam.
But yeah, that song, because like I read the same thing. It was like a huge hit and I was like, I've never heard this in my life.
Yeah. So they earned 3 Grammy nominations, which included Best Pop Vocal Group. Yeah. 180 was also believed to be like that the key to the title is that they were doing a 180 degree change in direction.
Oh.
And they were correct because the album was named by one of Ambrosia's technicians, Robert Omaha Toth. Omaha is his like nickname.
Yeah,
I
perfect.
Guess.
Omaha. Mm, Omaha yeah. Toth.
Okay. Then there's one other thing. Oh yeah, they contributed a song to the film Inside Moves.
I've never heard of that movie.
Yeah. I didn't look that one up, but there was another one here. Oh yeah, the Arthur soundtrack. They had a song on the Arthur soundtrack.
Like the Aardvark?
No.
Not Arthur the Aardvark.
Wait, I have to tell you something. Anytime Arthur comes up, I have to tell this story, and I'm not sure if I told you before.
I know this story, but keep going.
So, I had friends that were arguing about what Arthur is.
Okay.
Whether Arthur was an aardvark or not.
Okay.
And the one person was like, yes, of course he's an aardvark. And the other person was like, you have to see him from the side. He doesn't have an aardvark nose. And so this person who was arguing he was not an aardvark just did the Google image search, Arthur side profile, with no other information.
Okay.
And it was just a bunch of old men.
Is it? Okay, this is not the story I thought.
No, I know what story you thought I was going to tell,
okay.
But I'm not going to tell that
that's
story.
That's fair. We encourage everybody, please email us softshoulderpod@gmail.com your favorite side profile Arthur, be it an aardvark or a human.
Yeah,
we'll take it.
Yeah, just Google image search that and scroll through and send us your favorite Arthur.
Yeah, we'll share it on whatever.
Arthur the movie.
What's Arthur the movie?
Oh, it's like there was a remake of it with a few years ago.
Was it Jude Law?
Oh, maybe.
That's
the
only thing that's popping
in
my head.
Like something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, for some reason, I'm thinking like Michael Caine or something like that, but I don't know. It's not.
Whatever. Who cares?
Who cares?
Like, honestly.
It's the song they wrote was called Poor Rich Boy, and it's not good. It's written by Burt Bacharach, and you can really tell it's a Burt Bacharach song because you're like listening to Ambrosia sing it, and you're like, what? Why are they talking about this?
This is very Bacharach-ish.
It's very Bacharach-ish, yes.
Okay.
You know that song by Burt Bacharach that's like called Something Big?
No.
Oh, I love that song.
Okay, sure. We'll put it in right now.
Okay.
Why not?
Yeah.
Who cares?
All right, I'm almost done here. In 1982, David C. Lewis briefly left the touring group to be replaced by Bruce Hornsby. Can you believe it?
Holy fuck, the Bruce Hornsby?
Yeah.
Oh, what did he sing again? That's just the way it is. But don't you believe
them? So then, Ambrosia released their last studio album, which is called Rhode Island, in May 1982, produced by James Guthrie.
The cover art to that is by the same dude who did...
It's Ralph Steadman, right?
Yeah.
Because I noticed that. I didn't see anything about that, but I was like, this is obviously Ralph Steadman.
Yeah, or just somebody completely ripping him off, but I don't think so.
Yeah, like Wholesale too, right?
Yeah.
So this album crashed and the band broke up, and then they they reformed like later, and they still kind of like tour with like a bunch of like a dad band now where they're like, hey, we're Ambrosia, kids.
Who wants to hear Mama Frog?
No one. The answer is no one wants to hear Mama Frog.
I do.
No, you don't.
I like that song.
Of course you do.
Yeah, it's good. Cool. Yeah, they put out like a live album in like, I think it was like 2015 or something.
Yeah. I think like, as far as I know, they've been still touring. You know, they're like one of those bands that'll like show up on a New Year's Eve concert or something. Or
yeah,
like
or like
Fall Fair. I don't know.
Yeah, like Chattanooga's Blueberry Days or
something. Yeah. Check out Ambrosia Blueberry Days.
Yeah, man. Perfect. We always had April Wine was always good for that.
Oh yeah.
Like anything. It's like, you know, we're
just
like
between you and me.
Great song.
Yeah.
I
guess we gotta go to soft. Focus,
we'll get into our soft focus.
Talking music with Stacy's role. Maybe talking Toto or Daryl Hall. Stevie Winwood, Minnie Riperton. 2 weeks will do it all.
Yes.
Deal. I'm going to start this time.
Okay.
Right off the bat, nice, nice, very nice.
Oh.
I liked it.
I don't.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Okay. Life Beyond LA.
Yes.
Mostly because that intro is amazing.
It's just like it comes in so hot. You're like, what is this, a fucking Toto song?
Yeah.
You're
like, this is great.
Yeah.
Up next is from their self-titled album, Mama Frog.
No.
Had to put Mama Frog on. Mama Frog was great.
Oh, so is the part that you like about it the part where, for some odd reason, Jabberwocky is just being narrated?
Yes. I was like, this is wild.
It was brilliant. And the slithy toes did Guy and Gibble in the wing. See where the bug goes and the moon wraths upgrade. Beware the Jabberwock, my son.
I hated it. I took my headphones. I was listening to that album. I took my headphones off for a minute to like talk to Crawdaddy, and then I put them back in, and I was like, "What the fuck am I listening to?"
But that's what you want. At least it's some sort of like break from the monotony of what I thought was this band. Then I had Kamikaze. The music in that song is nuts.
It is nuts.
It's like I had to load the waveform into my computer, and it's like it goes down to silence. It goes like. Bleh. And then I hit the microphone and but it's like somebody it sounds like somebody's actually like turning down the whole mix. Mm-hmm. It sounds really neat. I was like, I've never heard anything like this. This sounds neat.
That in that sweet Alan Parsons production?
Probably. Yeah, this is from...
Second album?
Yep. No, I didn't write it down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll never know.
And then Biggest Part of Me, because it's so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's my number one.
Biggest Part of Me?
I love it.
Nice, nice, very nice?
No.
Mine were in no order, I want to say.
Oh, yeah, they're never in any order, but that just happens to be the one that's written at the top of my list.
Okay, perfect.
Then of course I love How Much I Feel. How much I feel. It's just like so smooth. It's just so quiet, so smooth, so gentle.
I like a song that sounds like peanut butter.
Yeah, a song that sounds like where you're kind of like, am I under anesthesia right now?
Fair, I'll take it.
I don't know how this whole business business started of you thinking that I had been untrue. But if you think that we'd be
Life Beyond LA, of course.
Yeah.
Then a song called Rock and a Hard Place.
I put that on and then turned it off. I didn't like it. Wasn't for me.
I like it because I was like, all right, this song is definitely this, you can feel that like symphonic, like, and prog kind of influence. And also it's just like it reminds me of like Meatloaf or like Jim Steinman type stuff. Okay. As well, which I love.
You a huge Meatloaf fan?
I love Jim Steinman.
Okay.
And so, you know, by association, that means I love Meatloaf.
Fair, fair. we could do a Meatloaf episode.
Yeah, heck yeah.
My friend Nora is really into Meatloaf.
We can get her in,
yeah.
Yeah.
My brother has a Meatloaf hat.
I thought you were going to say tattoo.
No, but he does have a Fine Young Cannibals tattoo. It just says FYC on his arm.
Oh my god, I hate that. Well, since we're speaking about Meatloaf and things that have actually nothing to do with Meatloaf really at all, Crawdaddy's guy that does his massage sheets says he looks like Meatloaf. Crawdaddy says he looks like Meatloaf.
Oh, I thought you were saying that that person said that Crawdaddy looked like Meatloaf, and I'm like, that is not
there
true.
There couldn't be. Crawdaddy's like a noodle man. He's like shaped like a mic stand. Like,
yeah, he's like a bendy little dude.
Yeah.
Who we love.
We love him.
We love Crawdaddy.
Love you,
but
Crawdaddy.
Definitely not a Meatloaf persona.
Couldn't be further away from Meatloaf.
No.
He also hates Meatloaf. He made me put on Meatloaf for him, and he was like, I don't like this. But he'll make me listen to Nick Cave at the breakfast table.
Yeah. Also, just you saying Nick Cave and the breakfast table just sounds like another Nick Cave project.
Yeah. He's got the Bad Seeds, and then he's got the breakfast table.
Yeah, or like the birthday party.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, one more song, which is Holding On to Yesterday, which is off the first album. It's one of the songs on that album that's like co-written by Alan Parsons. So what I like about, like, I feel like all the songs I like on that album are the Alan Parsons ones.
Because okay.
They're like more in that smooth side of things and less in the like, the vocals are just different. Like the vocals in the like other songs are very much like, we're a prog band and we will just sing like this.
Okay. Yeah, fair.
You know what I mean?
Still don't have a name for our bottoms.
What?
I know. We keep meaning to do it, and it doesn't
matter.
Do
we keep meaning to do it, or
no,
do
we don't.
Keep forgetting about it?
I think that's the plan. Yeah, I'm so used to like just forgetting things and be like, I'm meaning to. Like, yeah. No, I'm gonna get to Ice Age for me.
Oh, I don't know that one. Oh, my, it's time we found a way to turn on the heads around. No time before they pull our bodies apart.
It's off of like, I think it's off of their last record. Mm-hmm. Not like the 2015 one, but like the 82 one.
Oh yeah.
It was just really boring.
Yeah.
It was just like just super repetitive with like a bunch of dumb shit in the background. I think it was an instrumental too, and I just didn't like it.
Yeah. No.
And then I got The Brunt.
Ugh.
Which was off of Somewhere I've Never Traveled. Also just not a good song.
Yeah, man.
That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, man. Sometimes like I feel like I listen to a bunch, like having only five albums, I was like grateful that we weren't dealing with the Chicago level situation here.
For sure.
But I was also like, all of those albums were too long.
Yeah. That's what I found with this band in general. Like it was just like, yeah, I think this is like a band that I could like do with like a best of and mm-hmm. probably somewhat enjoy it, but
yeah.
Like a full album I wasn't in.
Yeah, and I have like I didn't realize it would be so proggy. Like, I was really expecting it to be a lot more soft stuff, and there really wasn't that many. Like, the songs I knew were the soft songs.
For sure. You know? I mean, that happens. Yes. That happens a lot with this shit.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's half the fun, right? Like, I mean, we're not sitting here as, like, people who are, like, Ambrosia aficionados. Like, it's kind of fun to, like, you know, I probably now know more about Ambrosia than 95% of the people I know.
Hey, let's go out on the street and start polling people.
Oh, that's a great idea for an episode. What do you know about Ambrosia? What do you know about Minnie Riperton? That'd be great.
Yeah, sounds dumb. Okay, my bottom two are Mama Frog.
Oh, you... Ah!
Yeah, fuck Mama Frog.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Because I just felt like it was like they were super influenced by King Crimson, and I was just like, you're just trying to be King Crimson in this song.
We're putting so much Mama Frog into this episode now.
No, no. Actually, you did something in the episode I just listened to. We spoke of a song that I will not tell you what song it is, but I was so mad that you put it in the episode, and I was ready to cuss you out.
I'm not sure which one it was.
I'm not telling you because you'll put it in this episode.
Was it,
no,
what's it called?
I won't answer. I won't answer.
I think I know what it was.
No, you. I won't answer.
It's a children's song, right?
No.
Okay. I'll find out, and I'll put it in.
But I was also mad about that. I expressly told you not to put that song.
Yeah, and I expressly said, I'm doing it.
All right, my other bottom is Kid No More, which I don't even remember what album it's from. Like, I guess maybe that 1982 one. But I said that it just sounds too much like Chicago and Frank Zappa had a baby.
Okay, okay.
There was definitely some kind of like xylophone going on in it that I was just like, where is this coming from?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. So.
What's your take on Frank Zappa? Like, yeah, that's it's hard for me too. Like,
I mean, like, I don't know, because like some of it I understand. Some of the mother stuff actually I think is like kind of, you know, good or interesting, or just like even like, you know, for the time, it's more of like this, it's like the idea of like what it was doing rather than the actual music. But I feel like there's so much within Frank Zappa's music that's just like blatantly like homophobic and like sexist this stuff where I'm just like, I don't know, Frank, like what's going on here? Like what is this?
I think a lot of it was meant to be, it was meant to be like that. Like, I think he was like being like one of those things like I'm being an asshole on purpose. He seems like he was a very smart man.
Yeah, he was super smart.
And he seems like he was a very liberal man at that.
Yeah.
So like, it just seems to me, and like, I found the same thing when I listened to Frank Zappa, because I tried to, and I was just like, I don't think I'm into this.
Yeah.
Like, and especially because for somebody like that to put out, how do I describe it? Something that's going to grab the attention of, say, more of a, like, an outsider person, that might give the wrong message. Like, they might not get the irony behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah, you do have to be concerned that you're just sort of like, any, like, satire can go either way, right?
And for sure.
I don't know. I just don't really... And also, like, do I really need that much xylophone in my life? Probably not.
No. I was just wondering. I always wonder people, because a lot of people that are like really, really like Frank Zappa or just can't fucking stand him.
It's I wouldn't say that I can't stand him. Like, okay. I could definitely, like, I can handle some Frank Zappa, and like, I went to art school. Of course, I know Frank Zappa is, like, listened to a lot of Frank Zappa in my life, but like. Yeah, I just don't. I think that those days are behind me.
I kind of put Frank Zappa and Ween in the same category.
Yeah, but like, to be fair, there are some Ween songs that I fucking love.
Oh, same. Like Buckingham Green.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah.
Like the incredible
whole
song.
The whole Golden Country Greats album.
Man.
top to bottom, awesome album.
So good. You so know, good. They actually went down to Nashville and like hired like the like top notch musicians.
All the guys on that album are like the session musicians from all those like country albums. And
like, it's amazing. It's the same with like Michael Nesmith put out an album, Michael Nesmith and the Monkees.
Yeah.
He was in a band called Michael Nesmith and the First National Band. And actually his album Magnetic South is one of my like my top. Like I'd say top five albums of all time.
Oh yeah,
he had like the whole like second tier Nashville A team on it.
Oh,
like,
what's the song unreal. From that album?
Joanne.
Yes, Joanne. So I love good. That song.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, like I find that neat. Like I was listening to literally something today about like that Ween album was like just the fact that like they did it tongue in cheek and it was kind of a kind of a silly album, but like they wanted it to sound authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. And I love it.
Yeah. Ambrosia.
Ambrosia. It's not Ween.
I think we're good.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Her name was Joanne, and she lived in a meadow by a